Good morning. Open your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. I bring you greetings from Hurricane Road, Grace Church, and Frank Tate, our pastor. He had texted me this morning and asked me to be sure and tell everyone. He said hey. I'm traveling alone. Abby, our youngest one, he's returning from college, and he got back a day early. And neither Abby and I, either one, wanted him coming home to an empty house. So she's home with him. Galatians 1. And we'll look at the first 9 verses. The title of the message is One Gospel. One Gospel. Let's look beginning with verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Now, Paul had no problem attaching his name to this letter to the Galatians. There was no shame in that. In fact, in the book of Romans, Paul wrote this. He said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile." Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Paul didn't take this office upon himself. Writing to Timothy over in 1 Timothy 1, he said, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." No man takes this office upon himself. If he does so, he does so foolishly. God puts men in the ministry. He gives them the message. He reveals it to them. 1 John verse 1:3 says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you." And God, again, calls men. He puts them into ministry. And Paul didn't thrust himself into the office, nor did, and this is so important, and he didn't run before he was sent. Over in 2 Samuel, turn there with me, 2 Samuel chapter 18. Second Samuel 18. Now here in 2 Samuel, David's son Absalom had been slain by Joab. Look beginning with verse 19. "Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings how that the Lord hath avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, Thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, but because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, Go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab, and he ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, But howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, Wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing thou hast no tidings. You don't have anything to say. But howsoever, said he, let me run. He just continued to say, let me go, let me go. And he said unto him, run. And Ahimaaz ran the way of the plain, and he overran Cushai. Now there's two men here. One has the message, and he is sent with it. And another does not. Cushai was sent. Cushai had the message. And Ahimaaz, he said, let me go, send me. He just kept, let me go, send me. And he was warned. You don't have the message. You don't have anything to say. But he persisted. And Joab eventually said, just go. Just go. And Ahimaaz go, and when he gets to the king, he passes Cushai. He's the first one to the king. In verse 29, he says this. The king says, what happened? And he says, I saw a great tumult, but I don't know what it was. As a messenger, that's one of our greatest fears, to stand before God's people and not have a message. To run. But what a warning, to run before we're sent. We must be careful. We must be careful that we do not run before we're sent. But then we see here that Cushai, he came bearing the message. I find it interesting, verse 21. Joab told Cushai, he said, you go and tell the king what you've seen. He was sent, wasn't he? Huh? Isn't that what we read? How shall they preach except they be sent? Well, let's read on here in our text in Galatians 1. Look at verse 2. All the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. And he says in verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace. Don't we love those words, grace and peace? Grace, unmerited favor, acceptance from God, and peace. Peace with God. How can that be that a man, that a dead, sinful man can have peace with God? That God would receive a sinner. Huh? Here's the source of it. Here's the source of grace and peace. God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, do you have verse 4? Let's read on. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. He gave himself. He gave himself. This one gospel, it concerns Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Peter wrote over in 1 Peter 1, in verse 18, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by tradition of your fathers. How were we redeemed? With the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He gave himself for our sins. He gave himself for the sins of his people. In the book of Hebrews, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Look at verse 24. Hebrews 9, verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself now. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. Remember that the high priest would go in year after year and offer that sacrifice. But look at verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation were, but now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The Lord Jesus Christ, he offered. He gave himself as a sacrifice for the sins of his people. Turn over a page to Hebrews 10, verse 12. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, what did he do? He sat down. The work's complete. You ever put in a hard day's work, a hard day's labor, and at the end of the day, we sit down, right? That project you've been working on, you feel that way, don't you? We sit down. Doesn't that rest feel good? But for us, it's not over, is it? Huh? The next day, it's right back at it again. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when he sat down, my friends, the work was complete. Salvation accomplished. When he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever. Forever. Them that are sanctified. One offering. He gave himself. Scripture says he gave his back to the smiters. How awful sin must be. One of the old writers said that thing of scourging, when the Lord was scourged, they would take that whip, and on the end of it, they would be pieces of glass and metal and stone and whatever they could gather up, and they'd take that out and they'd lash that against his back. And those that did it, they say, were just masterful at it, and they would rip out chunks of flesh, and that many men did not even survive that act of scourging. How awful. How awful. And then, but that was just the first of it, wasn't it? He was scourged. His chunks of his beard were plucked out. Huh? Says he hid not his face from shame and spitting. He suffered at the hands of men. Brethren, he suffered at the hand of God. Justice demands death. The wages of sin is death. And the Lord Jesus Christ suffered and died in the place of his people. He cried out, my God, my God. He suffered and died. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There on the cross, he suffered and died in the room instead of his people. He took what I deserved. He paid a debt that I could not pay. He gave his body. He made his very soul an offering for sin, a sacrifice for sin. He gave himself. In John 10:18, it says, this is our Lord speaking. He said, no man taketh it from me. He wasn't taken by force. Huh? He said, I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was a willing sacrifice. Huh? Willing and obedient. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He gave himself for our sins, a sacrifice for sin. He made reconciliation for our sin. Remission of our sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And listen, not for any sin of his own. We can't even comprehend this, but he did no sin. He knew no sin. He had no sin. That's all we do. That's all we do is sin. And yet, Scripture says he was made sin. He was made sin. He was made what he could never be. Aren't we thankful for that, though? Because in being made what he could never be, we're made what we could never be. He was made sin. We're made the very righteousness of God in him. He gave himself for our sins. Well, turn back to Galatians 1. Why? That he might deliver us from this present evil world. That he might deliver us. That he might deliver his church. We read this, that Christ loved the church and he gave himself for it. That he might deliver us, his elect. Huh? Paul wrote, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. That he might deliver us, his sheep. Our Lord said this. He said, why did he lay down his life? He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. That he might deliver us, his church, his elect, his sheep, from this present evil world. You know, back in the garden, Adam disobeyed God. He sinned against God. Scripture said, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And listen, that's the world we live in here, this present evil world. In Genesis 6:5, Scriptures declare that God saw the wickedness of man. It was great in the earth. And that every imagination of the thoughts of man, the thoughts of his heart, what was it? Only evil continually. The evil of this world. And listen, it's not just this world. Huh? Where it's right here, isn't it? Huh? The evil that dwells in me. In Romans chapter 7, verse 18, I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Yet, we can say the believer has this assurance. He has delivered us. Over and over in Scriptures, we read of deliverance. Right, turn with me to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Here we read of the deliverance of three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now King Nebuchadnezzar, he had made an image of gold. And that image of gold, it was an idol, and it was 90 feet tall. Boy, he wanted everybody to see that, didn't he? Huh? I don't really see King Nebuchadnezzar as being a very humble man. He builds this great big gold statue, and he puts it out there for everybody to see. But you know, I was thinking about this. An idol, it don't matter if it's 90 feet tall and made of gold, or 2 or 3 inches tall and carved out of wood. It cannot save. Huh? It cannot save. Look at verse 1 of Daniel 3. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And then he brought together his rulers. He brought together the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the sheriffs and all the rulers. He brought all the important people together. And he made this decree. He said, when the music starts to play, look at verse 5. When the music starts, everyone is to fall down and worship this golden image, this idol that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And he said, if you don't do this, those who don't they'll be placed in that burning, fiery furnace. Now, that's not deliverance, right? That's just fear. That's just using fear. So again, the king made this decree. And from what we read here in the rest of these scriptures, everybody bowed down. Everyone feared the king. Everyone was afraid to not bow down. They were afraid of being cast into that furnace, with the exception of three men. Three men. Look at verse 12 and 13. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, some folks went to the king and they told him. They said, O king, they've not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods nor worship the golden image which you've set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. And they brought these men before the king. And the king spoke again. And he said, fellas, I'm gonna give you another shot at this. He said, when the music starts to play, he said, you bow down. And he said, if you do that, it'll be good for you. But he said, if you don't, I'll cast you into the oven. And when the king said this, he also said this. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You know, Pharaoh asked that same question. Isn't that what he asked? He asked Moses, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? Do you still have Daniel 3? Look at verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they answered and they said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. I imagine that when the king had made his comment, they didn't have to even think about it. They didn't say, give us a few minutes and we'll get back with you on this. No, they said, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, if he doesn't, it's not because he's not able. Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which you've set up. Our God whom we serve, is able to deliver us. And you know, when the king heard these words, he just flew into a rage. It says his visage was changed. He was furious. And he said, turn that furnace up 7 times hotter than it was meant to be. And he had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego bound and cast into the oven. And the fire was so hot that the men that were carrying them over to throw them in that furnace, it consumed them. And I don't know how much time passed or how the king was able to see this, but there was a time when the king said, didn't we cast 3 men? Didn't we just cast 3 men into this furnace? He said, I see 4. I see a 4th man. And they're loose. They're no longer bound. They're walking around in the furnace. There's no harm upon them. And he said, that 4th man, that king saw something, didn't he? Just shortly before that, he said, who's this God that can deliver you out of my hand? And he said, this 4th one, he looks like the Son of God. And the king spoke, and he said, come forth out of the fire, and they came forth. The fire had no power over them. Their hair wasn't singed. Their clothes weren't burnt. Listen, there wasn't even a smell of smoke upon them. You know, back home, we'll have a little bonfire every now and then. And you all know that. It's impossible to be around a fire and not have smoke on you. Right? Not even the smell of smoke. That's deliverance, isn't it? Huh? King Nebuchadnezzar said this in verse 29. What he learned, he said, there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. And that goes on and on in Scripture. He delivered Daniel out of the den of the lions. Remember Rahab, there she is in Jericho. Everything in Jericho is accursed. Everything in Jericho is going to be destroyed except for Rahab the harlot and her family. Huh? Isaac, there he is. He's laying there. Dad's about to quarter him, offer him up as a sacrifice. There's that ram in the thicket. Huh? Take it and offer it in the place of Isaac. Delivered. The children of Israel, there they are in Egypt. God delivers his people. Turn to John 18. John chapter 18. When those men came with their lanterns and torches and weapons after the Lord, Judas had betrayed him. Look at John 18, verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth, and he said unto them, whom seek ye? And they answered him, and they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus said unto them, I'm he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward. He spoke in power. They went backward and fell to the ground. But then they asked him again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, he said, I've told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. That the same might be fulfilled which he spake of them which thou gavest me. I've lost none. The Lord Jesus Christ was bound and taken away. But his people delivered. They went free. He said that. He said, if you seek me, let these my people, let them go. And they took him, but his people were delivered. They went free. Well, back to our text, back here in Galatians 1. Grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us. He has delivered his people according to the will of God. He who does all things by the counsel of his own will. Turn with me to John 6. John chapter 6. Here we read of the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? And these are the words of our Lord himself. Listen to these words. Verse 37. All that the Father hath given me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father hath given the Son. What's he say? They're going to come to me. They're going to come to me. He'll never forget them. He'll never forsake them. He will never cast them out. Verse 38. I came not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. He came. The Lord Jesus Christ came to do the Father's will. What the Father would have him do. And me and my boys sometimes, we get our, maybe this happens with your children, you get your wires crossed, like one's thinking one thing and the other one's thinking something else. That doesn't happen with Almighty God and the Lord Jesus Christ. They're one. They are one. Verse 39. This is the Father's will which hath sent me. Can I take comfort in this? Huh? Can we find hope in this? Christ declares this. This is the Father's will which hath sent me. Is there anything that he's determined to do that he will not do? Foolish question, right? Huh? All which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. I'll not lose one thing, but raise it up again at the last day. Our text reads, according to the will of God the Father. And here we read in John 6, this is the Father's will. This is the will of the Father. All that are elected by God the Father, all that have been redeemed by the Son, all that are called by the Spirit of God, they shall be raised to eternal glory. And not one shall be lost. Listen, our salvation does not rest upon anything that we have or have not done. Salvation is of the Lord. Huh? Look at verse 40 of John 6. This is the will of him who sent me. Everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. His sheep, his elect, his church, they're going to hear his gospel. They're going to see Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification and redemption. And by faith, we'll believe and rest in him. Well, back to our text, Galatians 1, verse 5. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The glory of God. Huh? Eternal glory. Let me ask you this question. in the salvation of a sinner, who gets the glory? Who gets the glory in that? Huh? Scripture says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Huh? Look what I did. Look what I accomplished. It's not the case, is it? Look what he did. Look what he was pleased to do. Who gets the glory? God gets the glory. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he said, who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst receive? And why do you glory as if you didn't receive it? In just a few verses here from Galatians 1, we've read this. Grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We read of the Lord Jesus Christ who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God. The will of God himself, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You know, yeah, looking at this, all that I can see with, if any man would think, well, what do I contribute? What do I bring to the table? Well, I'd say this. I'd say we bring one thing. We bring sin. That's it. We bring sin. That's our only contribution. But thank God he saves his people from their sin. The work of salvation from beginning to end, it's all of him. It says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And listen, quickly, let's look at a few more verses here. Verse 6 through 9 of Galatians 1. Listen, Paul ends this lesson with a warning. A little bit of a warning here. He's, verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel. How soon removed? How soon turned? That means to depart from one person or thing to another gospel. Which verse 7, it's not another. There is no other gospel. Okay, there's only one gospel. But he said, there be some that trouble you, and they would pervert the gospel of Christ. And Paul says here in verse 8, though we. Paul was a minister of a gospel. Huh? Think about that. And he says, though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which we've preached. What was the gospel he preached? Just right here. Huh? Again, grace and peace from God the Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. The gospel according to the will of God, the sovereign will of God, to whom be glory forever and ever. If we preach any other gospel, he says, let them be accursed. Listen, let's not be taken up with men. Let's not be taken up with angels. Let us be taken up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? And look, verse 9, in case we didn't hear it the first time. Because typically we don't, right? Is that just me? He said, as we said before, so say I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you've received, let him be accursed. All right, may God be pleased to bless his word.